I think at 36, you know, I'm just in a different place. If you ever want me to be the bachelor, I'll do that.
Things really played out wonderfully for me. It's easy to get wrapped up in the environment. It was definitely dramatic.
What drama?
Hello, Internet. I know, right?
Oh, God.
Worst season of The Bachelor ever or worst season of any television show ever?
Well, you know, Joey Tribbiani was on Mac and Cheese, so.
That's hard to deny.
Hard to deny.
Two episodes? One episode? Two episodes?
I don't know. Unclear. He was a detective with
at
a robot
sidekick. At least we got
CN,
I guess.
Oh, God. At least we had CN. Let's just really start from the beginning.
Yeah, so this is what... tonight's episode, the finale, as far as I care.
Right.
Because it's the last one I care about watching.
Yes.
This season.
Yes.
The finale was tonight, and I guess we have to take a different approach to talking about it. We can't just go through things as they happen.
Right, because it is not a normal finale.
If
you guys are just catching up, spoiler alert, Ari did pick Becca.
But, or did he?
But then, in the sort of bachelor honeymoon phase that they usually have after the show is wrapped, he felt as though he was still in love with Lauren B. So he broke up with Becca.
A wet piece of cardboard.
And here we are.
Yeah, so... So there's like 2 hours of TV that kind of all happens together where he picks Becca, and there's like 1 hour of TV where they stare at each other.
In silence.
Yeah.
She is seething, and he looks like...
He looks like the producers are saying, you have to stay on camera for as long as possible.
He looks
you have to make this an hour.
Like a jabroni, basically.
He is a jabroni. It's a dramatic episode.
Would you say it is the most dramatic episode?
I don't think I could really say that. I've only seen half the episodes. I just started watching a couple of years ago.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I know that nobody wants to hear this, but I bet a lot of people want to hear this. I still think Rachel and Peter's breakup was better.
That's because we were attracted to them as people.
Totally.
Whereas we don't care about, like...
I care about Becca.
Now.
No, I cared about Becca on the show.
I only care about her because this tragedy just happened to her on TV.
Which means she is very much now solidified to be the only option for The Bachelorette. But I think after they put her through this, I would be very wary of trusting the producers to do anything for me.
Yeah, I have something to say about that, but we'll cover it at the end.
All right.
In the looking forward segment.
Ooh, forward thinking. Very innovative.
We can't look at this for
too
long.
We're going to ideate. We're going to ideate.
Yeah, okay.
Take a 50,000-foot view.
Well, calm down. Calm down.
I'm sorry.
You're out of work. So calm down. Don't bring this work jargon into our home.
You know what? Let's circle back, and I'll ping you
Stop
when I've
it.
Got some
Stop
more
it.
Answers.
Loop me out of this.
I would like to be looped out, please. Unloop me, sir.
Taylor's not actually out of work. She's got a new job. She just has a couple of little time off. Congratulations, Taylor.
Thanks, Hubs.
Brand new job.
Really appreciate it.
So anyway, let's talk about what actually happened this episode.
Yes. So in the first sort of hour, we have the girls meet Ari's family and his mother's plastic surgery.
Wow. So Ari's mom and dad are two really interesting characters.
Yes.
His dad is just sort of like bothered that he has to be on the show at all because he actually is successful and famous, like in his own right.
You know, he's European, so he really doesn't.
Yeah, put him on camera, and all he's doing is like, listen, I can't believe I have to be here.
I don't want to be here, and I don't want to do
this.
Who
are you?
Who are you? What? Do you know who I am? I'm Ari Leyendyke Sr.
Yeah,
a legend in the Formula One community, sir.
That's it. He's like, I don't want to get into a dick measuring contest because I'm trouncing you.
I will win. I will win actively.
So he meets. They're in Peru still. The family goes down there.
Which I'm sure the Leyendykes have been to before. Like, let's not get it twisted.
Probably.
Peru is nothing new for them.
So Ari's dad is there. He's kind of unenthusiastic. Ari's mom is there. She's very enthusiastic, but her face doesn't move anymore.
That is right. I am questioning where she might have gotten her work done. Usually a lot of plastic surgeons are sort of in, about, and around sort of the desert area, just because it's a nice place to recover.
Maybe they had the extra hour in tonight's episode because... And literally an hour of it was just paid for, like a PSA by the government, prevent us from getting surgery like that.
Or maybe it was an advertisement for the next season of Botched on E.
Maybe there were just a lot of bees. A
lot of bees.
Right where she came in.
A lot of bees.
Right where she came in to do this thing, there were a lot of bees, but not enough time for her to recover before the people came.
Bees?
her face didn't move.
So they first meet Lauren, and Lauren has decided that she is going to sort of turn it on for Ari's family.
Boy, does she ever.
And wow.
There are dozens of words.
I have never seen her emote this much in her life, or in her afterlife. So
that's clearly where we are, yeah.
Lauren says all the stuff where she's like, you know, Ari and I have had, like, a difficult relationship, but it's, like, really important that the two of us, like, you know, really care about each other, and I just love him. She was crying a bunch in this episode, and I was like, where did all these tears come from? You've been drinking a lot of water?
She was crying because it's hard for her to get out so many words in a sentence. It's
probably easier to cry.
Yeah, we'll cover this later. Yes. Very thorough, in-depth analysis of her conversation in general on the whole season later.
On the whole.
She really struggles to put together sentences that are more than a handful of words, and, you know, when she's the only one left in the show, she's got to keep... You know, sometimes you're looking at compound or even complex sentences, you know, and never the two at once. That would be impossible.
Middle of the sentence.
Yeah. She really struggles. Like, she was really sweating out those words. It made her cry, I think.
So it seemed as though the Lion Deck family was really into Lauren. They said, wow, she was amazing. I don't know how they got there. That really shook me up. Like, how did you get there? Like, oh my God, Lauren was great. She was wonderful. Like, what did she say? What did I miss?
She leaves and everybody's like, I don't know how a human person on the planet could be more attractive than that thing. And I was like, really?
Well, they're Dutch. She's blonde.
But really?
I don't know. I'm not involved. I don't want any part of it.
I think she's, like, literally the number one least attractive person on the planet.
I think it's because you hate her. So...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I hate her because I think she's unattractive.
Well, I don't hate you because you're fat. You're fat, because I hate you.
She doesn't even go here!
So, we get to Becca meeting the family. And the family is pretty much like, I don't care who this second... is. If she's not Lauren B, get her out of here.
No, the door was closed.
The door was closed for Becca. They were not interested.
And she came up politely and knocked on it because she's from the Midwest and that's what you do.
And then she asked before she entered the room. She walked up to the door, knocked on it, said, hello, it's me, Becca. May I enter, please?
Yeah, you guys take your shoes off, on. What's the policy on shoes? Is probably what first thing she said.
On, off, that's definitely what she said. And she brought an extra pair of socks just in case.
Just to be considerate.
Yep.
So Becca goes in and does even better than Lauren, against all odds, fighting against the previous, you know, the notion that she had no chance. She comes in and she's like, guess what? I'm just a nice Midwestern person. And they were all like, what?
I am better than a dead body is what she said.
She didn't even have to say it. She just had to move.
Yeah. They said, oh, she's alive.
Oh, this one's living.
Yeah.
Cool.
There's some color under her skin. Got it.
Into it. So she comes in, she meets the family, whatever. It all kind of goes by quick. Nobody says anything of note, except she says something like, I'm alive. And they're like, wait, what?
So one of the things that was very interesting, it seemed as though, and we don't know how it went with Lauren, because, you know, sometimes they cut this kind of stuff out. But they said they, being Ari's family, made a lot of comparisons to Lauren in front of Becca. Which kind of sucks. The fact that they said, yeah, so Lauren said this, and Lauren was like this, and this was what Lauren did. What about you?
That's really terrible.
It was very terrible. Like, she had to sit here with this ghost of Lauren B, you know, haunting her entire experience.
There is no ghost of Lauren B. That's the Lauren
That B. is Lauren
that
B.
That is her right. existence.
So, like, you know, every word out of Ari's family's mouth was about Lauren B. I mean, Ari's dad asked her, you know, how did you and Lauren get along? And Becca said, I basically hated her, but in the nice Midwestern way, which is to say, oh, you know,
bless her heart.
We talked a couple of times. She's a really nice girl, period.
She's dead on the inside and the outside.
And the outside.
So it was okay. There wasn't that much conversation. Half of Ari's family is kind of dead, like Lauren, to begin with.
Definitely.
Right?
The only thing that I saw that was really of note during the family piece was at the tail end of it when, you know, everybody has now met both of the girls and here's the full family debrief. And Ari's family overwhelmingly picked Becca. And the reason that they picked Becca,
unanimous,
which I love that they all said this, they said, you know, Lauren needs a lot of hand-holding. She needs to be taken care of. You know, that is, you know, basically not what we want for you. We want you to be with somebody who is your partner, your teammate, who, you know, can get you to sort of get off of your ass and do something with your life. She's confident. She's this, she's that. And that is the kind of person that you need to be with. Hello?
Yeah, she's better than Lauren, for sure.
And Ari was still listening to all this, utterly and completely confused.
He's sitting there
confused.
Like, I don't know what to do.
I just don't know what to do.
It's such a hard choice.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
Everyone in his family was like, Becca. He's like, yeah, I know,
yeah,
it could be either one.
It could be either one.
Could go really go either way.
Could even be a boat.
it could be anything. So anyway, then they go on their dates. He goes on one final date with Lauren and one final date with Becca.
The date with Lauren was at Machu Picchu.
Yeah, scenic. They're walking around, they're seeing stuff. And basically all they're doing is talking to each other about how amazing it is.
Right, and I don't think
Wow, it's so beautiful. It's so amazing.
I don't think she can spell Machu Picchu.
I know she can't spell Machu Picchu.
Got
it's
it.
Hard.
Got it.
There's an easy way to remember it. It's a Strokes song. So you just look up Strokes music.
Okay.
Anyway, so they go around talking about how great it is to see things.
Yes.
And Ari's like, oh my God, I'm overwhelmed at the power of this date.
Right.
She's finally coming out of her shell.
Right. Like, and when he says that kind of stuff, I don't know how he can't hear it in his own mind. Like, the difference of how he talks about Lauren B and how he talks about Becca, like, he kept referencing her closed offness, like, the fact that his family isn't sort of into the fact that he needs to be coddled, that she needs to be coddled, like the fact that he keeps referencing sort of their relationship in regards to all the fears that he has with her, and the fact that he's basically been trying to convince her for the last 10 plus weeks that they should be together. Like, I can't understand how somebody can hear themselves say that kind of stuff and think, yeah, this is the person I need to be with.
So, first of all, you can't help what you're into.
Adam.
No, it's true.
You know.
Listen, if he would have sat there and thought about this, there's no way he would have felt anything toward Lauren.
I mean, the least he could do is make a pro-cons list.
But that's what I think he did. It's like, he made a pro-cons list. It's like, pros, all of them, like literally all of them were Becca. And then Becca has all the pros and everything's like, oh, but you know what? Cons.
She's not Lauren B.
I like blonde hair. So yeah, it's really like, hard to tell. The standard he set for Becca is very weird. He's like, yeah, she has a good job and like she's smart. She's going to be a good wife and like a good mother. And
she's confident. She knows herself.
She has all this stuff.
I have no questions about her and no problems.
It's comfortable. But like, you know
it's
what?
It's comfortable.
Yeah. He's like, but you know what? I'm just not sure. And then Lauren B.
What do you
like,
mean you're not sure?
Yeah. With Lauren, he's like, you know what? I'm into her, and I feel like someday she might be good. So, you know, really, like, it's close.
It's the same kind of that people always talk about when they don't know what else to say about their relationship, and they just say, you know, relationships are hard.
Yeah.
Now, guys, I know, you know, we're sitting around here having been together for, how long have we been together?
Like 8 years.
Is that true?
Yeah.
So we're sitting around here having been together for 8 years and being in a reasonable relationship and having done this stupid podcast for however long.
In this gigantic studio.
Huge.
Covered in platinum everything.
There's literally 300 people sitting here watching us do this behind glass. You know, we're sitting here talking about this, you know, not to say that, you know, people don't disagree about stuff, but, you know, relationships are supposed to be about friendship and familiarity. Wow. I'm having a stroke. Familiarity.
Too soon, Taylor.
Sorry. We'll talk about that later.
Sorry.
They're about familiarity and friendship and, you know, the partnership conversation. We are a team. Like, you know, you're going to be a good parent and I'm going to be a good parent. I don't need to be carrying you around in my pocket, Lauren B, because you can't be alone by yourself. Like, that is not a relationship. That sounds like it sucks, you know?
I don't understand. I mean, there is literally no appeal. It's not that I don't understand it. There is no appeal to Lauren B. She is a dead person. Dead people don't do anything well except die.
So that was Lauren B's date. Basically, Ari was saying, trying to convince her, I love you, blah, blah, blah. Lauren
B. He was trying to convince her or he was trying to convince him?
I think he was trying to.
So you're coming out of your shell. You're really opening up to me. You're getting so much more comfortable. I'm like, dude, listen, if this is the last time you see her before you get engaged, you should have had this thought already.
A long time ago. I mean, she's out here sitting and thinking that, oh, I'm the only person that he said I love you to. This is all going to work out and be fine. Whatever.
Man.
So we get to Becca's date. Becca, you know, has a similar sort of the classic Bachelor finale episode walk and talk date. The let's go to a street fair.
Look, a market.
We can
engage with the locals.
With the locals. Let's put on some weird clothes and maybe eat some bugs.
Oh, it's colorful.
Wow, look at all of these brown people. We've never seen this many brown people on this show ever.
That's what they did. Poverty tourism.
That's what they did. It is poverty tourism. So they did that. And then the evening date, again, Becca was like sitting there, which is an interesting dichotomy. The fact that Ari was the one trying to convince Lauren B that everything was okay.
And himself.
And then Becca was the one trying to convince Ari that everything was okay. Like, she was the one saying to him, you know, if you have any questions, like, we can talk about it, blah, blah, blah. And he was saying, no, I'm okay. No, I don't have any questions. No, everything's great and perfect. I don't think so.
Yeah, it's very clear that he had to pick Becca. And I think, I don't know if they told him, I will have to just guess about this later, but it just seems so weird that anybody could be attracted to Lauren after what they go through.
Right.
Or that anybody could not pick Becca. She had a good series of dates on her own.
Becca was the most solid and most consistent person on that show. And she did not deserve what happened to her.
Right. So we get to the actual, like, engagement portion.
Right.
They show up in the cars and they're in the dresses.
And basically we're just waiting to see who gets out of the car first.
Right, because that's who's going to lose.
Exactly.
And so it's Lauren, and she walks right up to him and she looks him in the face and she says, like, those romantic words that we've all come to know across the centuries, I'm freaking out.
Ah, yes.
That's how you start a conversation.
I'm freaking out.
Please ask me to marry you.
Great.
It's just weird. What about just like, listen, I have confidence because I am into what we have.
Or even if you say not I'm freaking out, you say I'm nervous right now and I really love you. That's also an option. That's fine. But again,
that's too much of a sentence.
Well, and Lauren B is 25.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So let's not forget that either.
Yeah, a particularly immature one at that.
Quite.
She's just not a developed person.
How could she be 25 and have been engaged twice?
Yeah, maybe three times by now.
Ooh,
she could be getting engaged right now.
She could be engaged right now.
As we record this, she could be in the middle of number three. There were three men on planet Earth who looked at that piece of wet wood with a face drawn on it and said, you know what? That is my person
lady.
Forever.
That is the mother of my
children. That is who I
children.
Want for the rest of my life. Awkward silences with this one.
Isn't that despicable?
Forever.
Like, when you really think about it on a deep, deep level, like, people like Lauren B exist in the world every day and they have partners. And people like Becca, or, like, you know, people out there think, like, oh, my God, I have these great friends who are so interesting and have, you know, fantastic careers and are successful and ambitious and funny and fully dimensional people. And they are not with anybody. Not to say that being with somebody is the end all be all, but, like, it's kind of annoying.
It should be fairer.
It should be fair.
So,
but as Adam Bonifest would say, you can't help what you're into.
You can't help what you're into. You don't program it. You don't decide it. You just feel it. Anyway.
I don't know. I started liking guys with dark hair after I saw The Little Mermaid. Prince Eric.
Yeah, but you can't help that. You didn't decide to. Your body was just like, I need to find that.
You sure it was the first movie I saw?
And now you did. Anyway, stop it. So he's like, listen, I don't want to do this with you. And Lauren goes, surprise, shockingly, I don't have a lot to say. And then she left.
You don't? You have nothing to say? So she gets up and walks out. So then she left. Gets in the limo. She starts crying again. Who cares?
Whatever. And then Becca comes in, and then it goes as it should go. Like,
right. Like she goes, gets proposed. She gets.
She goes. Listen, it's a big day. He's like, yeah, I know. Yes. I'm into you. Here's all the things I love. Will you marry me? Here's a ring. Whatever.
Right. She gets the ring from the Liberace world of crap. You know, it's all well and good. Everything's fine. And
or is it? Bum bum bum.
Bum bum bum.
That was 2 hours of television. I think we summarized it very well.
Very well.
It didn't even take, it took 20 minutes.
Great. So we move into
the powerful third hour.
Yes, the powerful third hour after the final rose. As we already know, the two-hour special was interspliced with some former Bachelor contestants and Bachelor favorites. We saw from Caroline, who had the ominous sort of line from the Women Tell All. We saw baby Becca and CN. We also saw Ben Higgins, who recently cried himself to sleep after the Bachelor Winter Games. And then Jason Mesniak, who basically coined the term pulling a Mesniak,
which is what Ari did.
Picked somebody on the show, broke off the engagement, and then selected the other person instead.
In addition to this, we also saw Chris Harrison about 100 times go, most dramatic, unbelievable twist, and we're going to show you something live on camera for the first time, unedited, that's never happened ever in reality TV.
Television that's never been seen before. Like, yeah. He said uncut so many times where I said, is he getting ready to show us some hardcore right now, or like something gross? Like, am I just gonna see somebody's butt for the next hour?
An advertisement for circumcision.
Full frontal nudity is coming to ABC this fall. Like, that is what I thought he was getting ready to show.
Yeah, I mean, it really just reminds you, you know, reality TV should be edited.
Raw and uncut.
It should be edited.
Nubile and virgin.
It should be edited within an inch of its life before I see it.
Please, dear God.
So we see an hour of unedited...
Uncut.
Reality TV.
Raw.
And here's what happens. There's two cameras, and they follow Ari into his little house where he and Becca are, like, putting together their lives and going to plan their wedding, I guess.
Now, mind you, what usually happens after the final rose is that the bachelor and the winner, or the bachelorette and the winner, usually go to a quote-unquote ABC safe house where they can spend time together in the off-season, basically between the end of filming and the beginning of...
underground media bunker.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that is sort of what Becca and Ari had been doing. And so this was their next sort of weekend together that ABC had put together. So what it seems like happened is that Ari said, okay, I'm going to break up with Becca at our next weekend exchange because I want to do it in person. ABC, you guys set it up, and I know you guys want to shoot it, so okay, shoot it.
I guess. It was very strange. So he just shows up, and he's like, listen, I need to talk to you. I can't
and
stop
she
thinking.
Had no idea.
She's blindsided.
Like, this, awful. Now, guys, mind you, the breakup started on After the Final Rose right at 10 o'clock. So we were watching this breakup for a full 50 minutes.
It was a long time.
50 minutes.
There's no real conversation. It literally, the conversation was 3 minutes. He was like, I'm thinking about Lauren. I want to be with Lauren. I'm going to leave you and take a chance on love. Take a risk on love.
Some bull that somebody told him to say. And then this is the thing that also killed me, where, like, the fact that she was so blindsided and he had himself fully scripted. He knew exactly what he was going to say.
And he still didn't do it well. But that's just because he sucks.
He does totally suck. And she's sitting there like, how could you do this to me? And I mean, it is so embarrassing that they sat here and put that entire breakup on TV for 50 minutes. That is embarrassing.
It was not a good move for them.
No.
Like, Ari's already very unlikable. He's had a bad season. He keeps the wrong people around. He's not interesting.
And he can't make a decision to save his life, clearly.
He's had a bad season, and, like, the public does not like Lauren.
No.
So there's only three people on this episode. One of them, everyone likes. The other two, not really so much. And so they get together, and one of the people that nobody likes says to the good one, listen, I'm leaving you for the other bad one. And then for like 45 minutes, they just sit in the same room in like awkward silence, a handful of feet away from each other, not touching because the body language is terrible. And then she leaves and then he follows her and then he walks out the door and then he comes back in and like approaches her again. And she's like, I don't want to talk to you.
Right. I very obviously and clearly don't want to talk to you. No means no. I curse the day you were born. Hashtag time's up.
Yeah. So like they film it so that she can't murder him right there.
I mean, I would have done it. I would have burned that whole place to the ground. I would have screamed. I would have slammed that door. I would have destroyed everything in that bathroom. And I would have said, you guys get to pay for this shit because I'm out of here. No.
That might be what she's done. We don't really know what happened after this.
That's true.
She cried a lot, but I mean,
she cried very politely, as a Midwestern person would
and
do.
And she was sorry about it.
And then she went and cleaned her face up, came back out to the producers, and said, I am so sorry that I just cried about that to you. I apologize.
So, but really, it's like 45 minutes of TV where nobody's saying anything. They're just sitting there awkwardly looking at her or at each other. And it's, you know, it's like a regular conversation with Lauren B. And this is it. This is what we're watching. This is the uncut, exciting scene.
Uncut and nubile and virgin. And like, he keeps saying like...
Uncircumcised.
Uncircumcised. And he keeps saying, I just want to see if there's that possibility. Like, you've got some nerve to think that, one, after telling two women that you were in love with them, breaking up with one of them who thought that you were going to propose to her, and then saying, huh, maybe I can break up with the girl that I proposed to and then go back to the other girl that I already broke up with. Really? You've got some nerve.
It's a strategy as old as time.
I mean, what a privilege it must be to be Ari Lyandike Jr. to feel like that would be something that he could do. I just want to see if it's a possibility. No, you're a jerk. You're a pig, and you're trash.
What could he possibly want? What could he possibly think is going to work out with Lauren? It's like, she does anything. She could literally just, like, bend over entire shoes, and he'd just easily be like, you know what? This is vulnerability. She's calling attention to the fact that her shoes are untied right now on this date. She's going to address it up front with me, and, like, I'm into that. She is opening up to me.
She's opening up to me.
It's like, as much as he wants to see it, it's just not there.
It's not.
And you could go take a chance, you could whatever, do the hell. Yeah. That was why you did the show.
It is this sort of mystical idea that, like, you know, relationships need to be hard, and, like, this fear that this overwhelming fear that he has that Lauren B. is not going to be there, or this fear that he has that he has to continue to try to convince her to be in love with him or to open up to him, is just absolutely ridiculous. No, like, it's ridiculous.
There's an easy test to be in a relationship with somebody. If you can spend a lot of time with them
and be comfortable with them and be friends with them, yeah,
then spend a lot of time with them. Like, your body will just socially tell you when you're done with a person, when you just can't be with them anymore. And it looks like Lauren can't really be in any kind of anything with anyone and still be comfortable.
I just feel like
she is unalive.
She's just not ready to, like, do this. The fact that she is still so closed off and, like, doesn't want to, you know, be in a relationship with anybody and has all these fears and anxieties about being in a relationship that she has well articulated throughout the show means that she probably needs to see a therapist before getting engaged ever again.
She is dead and also terrible. And yet, she was deemed the most attractive of the 29 available women.
And CN went to Yale, so.
Yeah.
So we basically sat through 50 minutes of a breakup and caught about 5 minutes of Becca's sort of reaction to it all. I mean, obviously, she's very wounded by the whole experience. She's probably on the love drought part of Lemonade right now. So she's very deeply in a very sad place. She's between Love Drought and Sandcastles for sure.
I think it's just extra, it's like, it's extra salt in the wound that she lost to Lauren B.
Yeah. Somebody who has absolutely no personality, like Rebecca, who is somebody who has a strong personality and is, you know, boisterous and kind and, you know, got all of these things. She's a publicist for crying out loud. So, you know, she knows how to talk to people and interact with people and communicate. And she lost to a 25-year-old girl who can't even put more than 95 sentences together.
Lauren isn't even a catch. She's not the most of anything.
Like, no.
Like, Cien and Jacqueline are the most educated.
I mean, even
and
baby
like,
Becca is like a
she's
better...
She's the most of something.
Yes.
She like even if baby Becca won, you could look at it and be like, oh, well, he must be really into that like charisma type thing.
Exactly.
And like, that's why I lost.
Yeah.
Or if Tia did the same thing, you could do the same. Oh, well, she has personality.
Yeah, like, or even Jacqueline, who was a nutcase. She had her own personality, and she was trying to get her PhD for crying out loud.
She was at least the most something. You could make a case for her to be the winner of something.
You could even make a case for Kendall to say, you know, she's weird.
The most unique. The most interesting.
She is weird. Okay, fine.
Something. There are no even descriptors of Lauren except for dead and uninteresting.
So, do you want to do Lauren B, or do you want to go into just sort of summing up the end of the episode? Basically, Becca sort of made a few statements about how she's still really upset about the whole thing. And tomorrow is a 1-hour follow-up with Ari, Lauren B, and Becca. Unfortunately, we will not be discussing that via podcast because we are
protesting
and very upset. But, you know, the only other thing that I will say is that, you know, if there was ever a moment where this was an easy call for who's the next Bachelorette, it's right in front of your face.
I believe that they have set that up. But let's continue to just drag Lauren for a little bit.
I can't wait. What do you have up next, Adam?
I was surprised this morning. I woke up and I was getting ready to go to work
because
somebody has to put food on the table around here.
It's still not me.
And this is the first day. This is her first day off.
First day of fun employment.
Yeah, she has just 2 weeks, then the new job starts. So somebody has to pay the bills around here.
Wow.
So I got
up. And who went and got quarters for laundry today? Still me.
I do it every other time.
I know, but
anyway,
come on.
Anyway, yeah, right. So I get up and I'm getting ready, and Taylor yells at me from across the apartment. She says, Vulture just did an analysis of everything Lauren B. has ever said on this season of The Bachelor.
And it is 94 lines of dialogue.
Yeah, we'll certainly put a link in the bottom of this for
it
you.
It is a fantastic experience. Thank God for Vulture, always marrying highbrow and lowbrow culture.
I'm usually not a fan of Vulture, but this piece is just perfect. You like,
it's fantastic.
You have to read it. So they list everything she said.
Everything. All 95 sentences.
It takes about, I don't know, 5 minutes to read it. It's only, I did, like, they did it, and then just full transparency here. I'm the type of person who sees this thing and wants to put it into a spreadsheet and start analyzing what she has said, and then go a couple of steps further. So I've done that.
This is my husband, everybody.
Here is just a list of findings of Lauren B's vocabulary in its entirety through the first 9 episodes of this program.
So, Adam, when you talk about vocabulary, give us sort of how you decided to quantify this numbers-wise, if you will. I mean, they gave us the 94 phrases of dialogue. Then what was the next step?
So I started with the basics, which is overall word count.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at, like, total sentence length here. So total words, just barely over 1,200, which is not a lot. The average person speaks 163 words a minute.
Ooh.
So all of that adds up to, just a shade over, 7 minutes of talking time in the entirety of the show. So that is, 792 minutes of TV, and she has been talking for 7 minutes of it.
Great.
That boils down to 93/100ths of a percent.
So
of 1%.
So of the entire season, she hasn't even spoken 1%.
No, correct. She's not. However, she has probably been on camera around 14-15%.
Okay. Which is average because remember, when we did the percentages, as we have done in previous episodes of the show where we've talked about, okay, when we're at 29 girls or 30 girls, that's everybody gets 3%. And then as you kind of go down,
your individual percent goes up. And you got to think Ari gets about half of it. So all these 29 women are competing for 50.
50%.
Right. 50 or maybe like 60, 70, because sometimes they show like at the house, but it's not the whole 100 that you're competing
for.
So she basically is on TV a lot, not talking, is kind of the summary. Mm. Then I looked at sentence length.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like there's a correlation between, longer sentences and intelligence. But it is the case that there is a correlation between longer sentences and intelligence.
Right, because the more complex your sentence structure is, the more intelligent you are.
Yeah, and the more intelligent you are, the more you have to say at once.
Yes.
And the more thoughts you can fit into a single sentence.
And the more words per minute you can speak, all of those things.
Yes. So anyway, I took a quick look at her overall speech patterns. The average person speaks 14 words in a sentence. Lauren, of her 94 statements, only had 31 that were that long or longer. grand total of about 33%. Great. One third of the sentences she says are average length. The rest are shorter.
Got it.
By contrast, 41 of the 94 statements were fewer than 10 words.
Okay. For example, some of the things that she said this season were...
Let me read you a couple. If we just start with the easy stuff, like... I'm Lauren, or maybe I'm freaking out.
Me too.
Yes. All, very memorable quotes.
Here we are.
Yeah.
I'm so quiet.
Why don't you just kiss me? That's an important one.
Mm.
I have these deep-rooted trust issues. Man, you really have to read this article.
And she also said, do you? How's your night going?
Really groundbreaking stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, 33% of the statements she said were longer than average,
mm-hmm.
and 44% were fewer than 10 characters. Then we get into the real kind of groundbreaking stuff.
Really?
That's all basic stuff.
I can't wait for you guys to see these charts. Like, there are charts. I made color-coded.
We should probably just link to this entire
document.
We're just gonna
PDF this and just give it
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, so then I looked at pronouns.
Mm.
I looked at all 94 of the statements and I judged them on 3 criteria.
Now, if you guys didn't know, pronouns are words like...
I'll say what I'm looking for.
Sure.
A pronoun is the word that takes the place of a noun. So I looked for 3 buckets of pronouns.
Yes.
I looked for the first person singular.
Sure.
So you're looking at I, me, and my here.
Yes.
Then I looked for you, your, and yours.
Yes.
Second person singular.
I studied Spanish. Right? I know what those are.
And then I looked for the third bucket.
The vosotros bucket.
Yes, the vosotros bucket. As it's known in academia.
The vosotros bucket.
This is the first person plural. She's talking about both of them together at the same time. So
we
ours, us, things like that.
Yes.
First of all, she says serious and nervous more than us. And I know because they all end in the same, letters.
Got it.
Anyway, and this is just something that pops up. So of the 94 statements, 67 of them said I or me or my.
Okay.
She talks about herself. 67 out of 94. That's like 70%.
Okay. Well, now, here's what I will say. This show is about Ari or the lead person getting to know that person, so they do have to make I statements a lot.
Sure. Sure. Generally, adults, particularly intelligent ones, can have conversations about things that aren't their feelings.
Well, and then also you are on the show and you are basically shut off from the entire world. So when you're talking about stuff, you can only really talk about your relationship and focus on that. You can't really say, oh my God, the Warriors won the playoffs. Wow. Who's your favorite player? You can't really have that conversation with anybody.
Sure. The point I'm making is not missed by this.
Sure.
About 70% of her statements are about herself.
Yes.
49 of the 94 statements are about Ari.
Right.
Okay. That's more than half.
Right.
Sometimes they're about her, like I and you.
Hmm.
Eight of the statements
are in the Vosotros bucket.
Are about them together.
We.
She is talking about the two of them in a sentence a lot of the time. She is never talking about them together as like one unit.
Right. So she's saying things like you and I rather than saying, she's saying things like we.
I ate the chicken, you ate the steak. Not we had dinner together.
Okay.
Man, I should just teach grammar for a lesson.
Please don't.
For like
please
my
don't, because then I have to live with it, and then you have to get all, you know.
I will continue to do it informally.
Please. Thank God.
Here's just a handful of other things that I think are very, very important. These are the real numbers. So then I took all of the words that had been said by Lauren and ran them through just some free text analysis tools that are just out there on the internet.
Oh, God.
You find these anywhere.
God, I am really amped up now. You just, wow, this is all very attractive.
These are the kind of things I do. Mm. So what I looked at first was a readability metric called the Gunning-Fogg Index.
Mm.
This is basically how many years of education it would take somebody to understand what you are communicating. It's basically reading level.
So what is the range of the Gunning-Fogg Index?
Gunning-Fogg.
You know what I said.
It starts at 6, which equates to about a 6th grade reading level, and it goes all the way up to 20, which means 20 years of education, which is like PhD level.
Got it.
So what the is scale, Lauren's? Scale starts at 6, ends at 20.
Got it.
Lauren's readability level with her speech is...
Based on the 94 sentences that she
is
spoke.
Is 6.3.
Wow.
It's literally as dumb as it gets. She speaks at a 6th grade reading level. Think about what you were reading at 6th grade. That's how she talks.
It was Walk to Moons.
When I was in 6th grade, I was reading, like, college books. So okay. You had to think about all what
right.
I was...
All right,
think about what all I was right. reading in, like, 3rd grade.
All right, your literary... is huge.
Think about how dumb the average 6th grader is, and that's how dumb she sounds.
Well, 6th graders are going through a lot. Their bodies are changing.
There's something else that I like to talk about. It's called lexical density.
Adam, what is lexical density?
For those who are not aware of lexical density, it is the amount of words you say. It's a percentage, so it's a number from 1 to 100. It's the percentage of words that you say that are meaningful.
Mm.
So it counts nouns and verbs and adjectives and adverbs.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't count the little words. It doesn't count prepositions or articles or, you know, conjunctions, things like that. It counts the words you say that contribute to the meaning of the sentence.
Ooh.
It says, this is who did it. This is what they did. This is what is about them. And then this is how they did it.
Got it. So what's right? Lauren's lexical density?
So the average person, the average, like, academic text has a lexical density in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
The average person in conversation has a lexical density between 45 and 60.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren B's lexical density is 28.7. Not only is she not talking,
No. She's
not saying anything when she does talk.
No.
She is literally contributing nothing to conversation.
This is incredible.
This is literally, this is me just taking the text from this article, running it through these free text analysis tools, and determining she is the dumbest person in existence.
Well, I mean, and now we've got the data to back it up.
She's just not great.
She's not.
So
Now, mind you, she did say a lot more in this episode than she has said, you know, ever. And that was not part of the article, but...
Well, it was 3 hours and she was only a third of it. But anyway, to be fair, I ran her lexical density on another analysis site and it gave her a 31.1, which is...
Still low. Still...
Which is... Don't confuse me. Miserable. It is terrible. But I did... I went with the lower number.
So, moral of the story is we will be able to give you all of this data so you can really take a look at it. Hopefully you'll be able to see it before tomorrow's episode that we will not be podcasting.
Run your own analysis if you'd like to.
Please let us know
how
you feel.
It's all in there.
Yeah.
Scroll down to the bottom and you'll see things. There's also a chart in there about the average sentence length.
Sure.
Like, most of them are dumb because mm-hmm. she is.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
That's it. Lauren B's an idiot.
Great. So, at this point, this is usually the point in the season, because this is our last episode for quite some time, where we talk about what's next. What's going to happen after all of this hits the fan? Who's going to be the next Bachelorette? What are our bold predictions? And basically, what can the show do to fix it?
Should I start?
Please.
To start, I think this is all arranged. I think they literally picked Ari and they were like, dude, we don't have anybody. We need an outsider. You come on, but you're gonna have to agree to have the most dramatic episode ever at the end, where you switch sides, you switch girls, you're going to ruin somebody, and you get to be with who you want to be with, but you're going to be the villain, and you're gonna do this nasty thing.
I'm the villain in my own story.
Right.
Yeah. Crazy ex-girlfriend.
So I think they did that twofold. Number one, they got to have this most dramatic episode, and number two, they just brutally sacrificed this totally innocent woman.
Oh my God.
Who they can then redeem by now having an interesting pick for the Bachelor.
Right, and so
it's like a two birds with one Ari type thing.
Okay. Now, would you argue that Becca is interesting because she was jilted on TV, or
that
was
is exclusively why she's interesting?
Right, but she was not interesting on her own. No. She was a normal Midwestern publicist.
She's
who
the
is
kind of person,
trying her best.
She appears once, she wins, and she's not interesting enough to keep going.
Right,
but that's fine.
Right, I strongly believe that it takes a certain kind of person to be able to put themselves through this experience twice and to feel as though they're going to come out on the other end either with the love of their life or come out on the other end with a good experience.
And a bunch of new Instagram
followers. And a bunch of new Instagram followers. If I were Becca, I would be so skeptical of the process and especially the producers, because those same people that felt like it was okay to shoot me in this vulnerable state when the man that I loved broke off an engagement with me and told me that he was in love with somebody else, that those would be the same producers that would be entrusted to, basically help me find love on the next season of The Bachelorette, I would not want to do that.
I think they can be very convincing. And they go, yeah, listen, we'll give you all these guys. You get to. They make it sound like it's a free choice.
Yeah.
It's like one of these card tricks where they force a card on you and they're like, yeah, anything you want. Like, whatever. You pick. It's a free choice. I love card tricks. Taylor's face right now is not approving of me.
Oh, my God.
Or card tricks. Anyway.
No.
I think they can be very convincing. Like, we'll make you a celebrity. We'll do all this.
Who wouldn't want the draw of having your own television show? I mean, and,
Peter.
Ugh, don't get me started.
I thought you were asking the question.
Ugh,
Peter.
God.
So what's next is that I think Becca has the first right of refusal.
Definitely. 100%.
And then if she says no,
I don't know what they're going to do.
It's got to be Tia or CN. I think those are your only real options.
Yeah, I think that it is so hard for, it would be so hard for them to move on from this to then go to CN or go to Tia, because there's not a strong enough sort of pull that the whole country, no matter who, whose side you're on, would not be drawn to Becca finding love.
It was brutal to watch.
What
that.
A horrible thing. Like,
it was terrible. Like, imagine if the worst moment of your life.
Like, remember the most horrible breakup you've ever been through. Or remember, like, the moment that you found out somebody was cheating on you. Or, like, you caught somebody do something. And that was on television.
The moment you agreed to marry Ari Leyendyke Jr., just in the name of being a minor celebrity for the rest of your life, and then all of it gets ripped away from you
by Ari Leyendyke Jr.
and Lauren B., the least interesting person on planet Earth.
I mean, clearly,
it's not just that she lost. It's that she lost to that.
To that. And clearly, we watch the show every season, and we say the same thing. We have to find new and different people. There is no way that we can continue to watch the show and have it be interesting if we're just pulling from the same pool. Like, I don't, for whatever reason, people thought that the ratings for Rachel's season were low. But, like, at least we had some interesting guys, like, outside of Lee. We had some interesting guys with some compelling backstories that were, unique and not just a bunch of dummies that all look the same.
You have to, yeah. The casting is the real issue.
Casting is the biggest issue.
Casting is the problem, especially on The Bachelor.
Yes.
They literally don't care about anything except looks.
Well, I mean that is the problem, that men truly just care about how big are her boobs, let me see her hair, and you know, I don't care if she's smart or not.
This is the real story of the season, is that Ari likes the way that Lauren looks.
Yep.
And even though everything else is literally the worst it could be.
The worst.
He picked her.
He picked her.
He picked her because looks are the only thing that matter.
Right. Which is why, and I don't know if the ratings, you know, measure this or not, but it seems like among Bachelor Nation and everybody else, people are really more drawn to the Bachelorette than they are to the Bachelor. Just because, you know, the guys are more interesting and more dynamic and, like, the whole thing is just different.
Yeah. It is.
It's easier to watch it, too, because you get kind of... It's just much easier to watch than a bunch of women sort of, you know, catfighting and cawing at each other and fighting over this guy who's boring.
It's interesting because, like, the 30 men all feel like they need to... Even though they are not... They're the contestants.
Right.
They all feel like they need to lead and, like, court.
Right.
And so it's 30 people running in a race for one.
Right.
And on The Bachelor... The Bachelor has the power of being the one who decides.
Right.
And all the contestants feel like they just need to sit back and let him lead still. They don't feel like they need to jump up and take it.
Right.
So it's 30 people running in a race where it doesn't matter who finishes. Just one person's going to pick somebody.
Right.
So there's no competition, really.
Right. I don't know what they're going to do. I know we keep trying to figure out what's going to happen. But, I mean, the best thing for the show is to continue to pick people who have already been on the show to continue... You know, sort of the growing hump, if you will.
Look what happened. Yeah, I don't know. They have to just literally, like, cut your people down. Don't pick 30. Pick 20. Pick educated people who can talk on camera, so that no matter what, your second, third, fourth place finisher,
is somebody in there
can sustain the season after this.
Right.
That's the only way around.
But I mean, the problem is that when they do select and do this casting. You know, they do it so much with whatever is the ideal specimen for the Bachelor or the Bachelorette. Like,
muscles.
Right. Like, I don't think Ari said to the casting director, hey, I want a girl who is really smart and, like, is either, you know, a PhD candidate or went to Yale. He didn't say that when they asked him what his ideal partner was. He said, I really like blondes.
Whatever.
That's why there's 800 blondes on this show.
As long as she's hot, it's fine.
Yeah. That's why there are 800 girls who are blonde. And he said, yeah, I would date somebody as young as 22. That's probably what he said. And that's what they gave him.
Sure.
They're not going to give any of these people, you know, people that are actually worth our time because... You know, the people that are on the show aren't worth our time either. So they're going to continue to perpetuate this sort of long-standing, like, yeah, I don't want anybody that's worthy of my time or anybody that's, you know, more ambitious or more interesting than I am because I'm not interesting.
We'll see you next year, I guess.
I guess. Thanks for a great season, you guys. We so wildly and strongly appreciate it.
A great season of our show.
To be clear,
which season we're describing is great.
And thanks for all the new listeners that we've met this year. I feel like we picked up a handful of people, especially thanks for the interactions and engagements with my Instagram stories and the recaps and, you know, Adam's spreadsheets. I don't know.
It's really powerful stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
She has a sixth grade speaking level.
Okay, honey. Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, I'm not trying to belittle that. I'm just more so belittling the spreadsheet.
For every three words that she says that mean something, she's saying seven that are just garbage. That's ridiculous.
Okay, we'll see you later on this year, guys. Bye.
I feel like I'm the last one of my friends to really take that step. I did fall in love. It's been a little surreal because I didn't know how this would turn out. I was a little skeptical. I really had strong feelings for more than one person. It is funny that nickname's hilarious.